Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mundoid, your one-stop shop for all things Project Zomboid. And this week, something just a little different. We are going to be talking directly with Andy, Chris, and Marina about what's coming up in this particular Mundoid. You're not going to see a lot of text, if any text at all. It is purely going to be voice kind of nonchalant chit-chat about all the things they want to talk about this week. And this kind of came about through the developers, talking about maybe kind of throwing a kink in the works and changing things up a little bit. We don't know if it's going to be a one-off or if it's going to be irregular or once a month or every single week. We don't know. But we'll see how this week goes, and we will kind of continue from there. So with me is, as I said, Chris, Andy, and Marina. Hello, the three of you.
Hello.
Hello.
And then Marina, hello.
Oh, I always say hello.
Oh, my cats are screaming in the other room. That's always good. Anyway, like I said, this is going to be something irregular. We're going to talk about four or five different things that they have prepped and ready to talk about. And I think we should just dive right in and get the shit focused. I swore, but I'm sorry. Let's just focus in on all the updates. So first things first, the one thing that I actually noticed was in earlier alpha multiplayer tests was actually the 3D models. And now you're telling me that they are in and more or less finished. Is this exciting? What are we looking at here? When are we looking to see it? What build?
We've had this on the cards for a while. Some people have seen the Mundoid a month or two back when we had the video of the 3D models. At the time, it wasn't finished. There was no weapons in hands. It was a bit crashy. It caused problems. There's a whole host of issues with it. So when it came to releasing the multiplayer build, we disabled it because we didn't want to add to the extra bug reports and stuff. But we took a couple of days out, and me and Andy got together, and we actually got the weapons displaying in the hands, all that business, and we've fixed up pretty much every bug. We say that tentatively because it might turn out that there are more to discover, but we're very close to putting it out there anyway, and it's looking pretty good.
That's typically how it works. You never know when the bug's going to pop up anyway. Cause I remember playing in the multiplayer. Again, I think I streamed it, if I remember correctly, and I was playing with all of you.
That's right.
And the 3D models were in, but like you said, they weren't holding weapons or anything. But when it was playing, it was so obvious how much better the models looked, how much smoother they animated. It just generally looked really, really good. And to hear that they're coming back, obviously, I'm assuming both in single player and in multiplayer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what build did we say this is going to be hitting in?
It might be in 25. When that goes, we're going to put a test out on another branch, see how it goes. If it works for everyone perfectly fine, then there's no reason to hold it back, really.
Okay.
Every time we change the graphics system in some way, we always explain it for the same reasons, which is, oh, but think about what the extra scope you'll have. Yeah. You know, when we went from the hand-drawn sprites to the rendered sprites, it was like, ah, yes, but, you know, we'll be able to pump out animations faster and pump out the costumes faster and better frame rate and everything. And all those same things apply from the rendered sprites to the real-time models. It's for the same reasons, but we sort of, like, we mean it more this time. Cause
no, this time, guys, seriously, we mean it.
well, the thing is, the jump from the hand-drawn to rendered meant that we were no longer... It was a lot easier to actually add the sprites in terms of drawing them, because it's a lot quicker for Andy to do an animation and then export male, female, zombie, non-zombie, all the different colours, and over actually drawing them all by hand took about 30 times longer, you know. Ugh. But the problem that we had, we realized how quickly the memory started to bloat with all of the frames of animation. So we hit the same issues that we had with the time it takes to actually draw stuff, but in terms of actually the memory cap of how much you can get away with.
We always knew that would be a factor, but I mean, the thing was, is that, like, the trouble with the rendered sprites is it encourages you to, because you can output these frames at whatever frame rate you like, it just all you end up with is more sprites. Mm-hmm. So the difference between 6 frames a second and 20 frames a second is a substantial number of sprites on a page. But when you've got the ability to have whatever frame rate you like, it looks nicer the higher the frame rate. So it kind of pushed us to maybe go a bit smoother than we would have done. I mean, we've got to remember, you know, the original hand-drawn stuff was, there was like 4 frames of animation in the walk. And in terms of the rendered sprites, that went up to about 20. So it's, you know, and just because of that, you know, we could have done 10 frames a second or something, and then we would have had loads more texture memory for more costumes, more animations, and that sort of thing. But it looks better. So the rendered stuff, the real-time stuff, means that we can have that smoothness and have that...
60 frames a second, but without all the space.
Yeah.
But the other big deal is the blending, and that is the fact that it's impossible to do with the sprites, but there is... with the 3D models, if you stood still and then you go into running, it doesn't just flick to running. It actually goes through all the intermediates of his arms moving forward. You know, if you go to swing your weapon, there's never a point where the animation jumps from one position to another anymore. You know, and that's something that adds so much.
And it does, in theory, open the possibilities for doing some sort of procedural animation stuff. So, I mean, to pick an example, but this is like a hypothetical example, but say we did amputation.
Yeah.
Then all you would need is some mechanism to remove that arm, and you can just render out, you can show visually a character with one arm missing. But if we were doing that with the old system, we would need to have the sprites for a missing arm, you know.
It's a ton of work.
Yeah, well, it would be any extra work, but it would be a whole duplication of every single frame of animation that you'd need also for a missing arm.
So memory-wise too, that'd be a pain.
It would just be, it'll be crazy to do that.
Yep.
But in real time, we could, in theory, procedurally remove that.
Yeah, and the other big thing is I was rewatching The Walking Dead a while back, and I remember commenting to my girlfriend, there's a scene where he basically runs out of a house with a baseball bat and pummels a zombie in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that is why it takes so many hits to kill stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And because it's like bam, 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 bam for about 15 times. And it makes sense in the context of it because of the sound it makes, because the fact that, you know, it's like frenzied, like repeated. But the problem at the moment with the 2D animations is you've got this sprite where it basically does an entire sweep and then the zombie reacts. But this will open up the possibility to interrupt the animation halfway through as if he collides with something. So you can get that meaty feeling of actually physically hitting and the swing being interrupted and things like that. It opens up a lot of doors for the combat system that wouldn't be there otherwise, and it might allow us to add more depth because at the moment we're struggling between intuitiveness and depth of the combat system, and it's kind of a battle with losing a bit, but we might be able, we've got extra options for adding more depth to the combat, but keeping it intuitive and simple to understand, you know.
It's funny that something like so simple as just changing to a 3D engine, and I don't say simple as in simple, because I remember Andy on Twitter very upset having to transfer everything over to the new modeling system, but something as basic as that, I guess, in terms of gameplay can affect something like combat in the game just because it's a totally different engine, which is, it's awesome. I'm glad to hear that, so that's good. And you know, there's no denying too that the sprites themselves, as charming as they were, the 3D models, from personal experience, do run a whole lot better. But with sticking with the theme of art, let's move on to point number 2 that I think Marino definitely wants to talk about. And this is something I was surprised that when the game hit Steam, there was a lot of threads in the Steam forum about, which was kind of bizarre. But now that they're in, I'm sure those people are really excited, and that is the trading cards are finally in Steam. Yay!
Yeah, with Steam trading cards, it's either you seem to love them or you totally do not care.
Yeah.
I personally am one of the people who collect them and try to go for badges. Andy is too. Chris doesn't really, except for like a couple games. So I wanted to have them in quite soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of people like, oh, I'd rather have stuff for the game, but it's in this, you know, it's it's something that is important to a lot of people, that is relatively a lot of worth to a lot of people compared to the amount of actual.
How much time did it take you really to implement them?
This is exactly the point. It's like when people look at features that we add in and they say, you know, so they see the trading cards go in and say, well, I'd rather you were working on X, Y, or Z. But the fact of the matter was that MASH is waiting on some work from me, which was going to take me about 2 weeks to do. And she can either sit there just waiting, or she can do the trading card stuff. So,
they are the best training cards.
I was going to say,
we can say this because we never did them ourselves. They are the best training cards in the whole of Steam.
They are awesome. I got one the other day, you know, my first one on Steam after already putting like 57 hours into the game so far on the Steam version. And the art, I already like the art in Project Zomboid, the concept art and the just the art that Marina produces and everything. The trading card art is so awesome. I like the lighthearted nature of it, but still the dire situation this poor Spiffo finds himself in. It's awesome. I really like it.
Yeah, he also knows, though, no matter how bad the situation looks for Spiffo, he's never down. He's always fighting it.
He's always so happy, and he's got that glimmer of hope in his eyes. But I'm glad. Glad you got
the carpentry one's my favourite. With the nonchalant look on his face while he's looking at the book. It's really thought.
The one I got was the athletic one where he's like sliding down, I think, our sheep rope.
Yeah,
is it? But I don't know if I read this in a Twitter or I can't remember where I read this, but didn't you say that people should take a look at the entirety of the card, like the whole piece of art?
Yeah, because the little cards only have a small cropped part of the entire image, so you might not get really what's going on just from the cards. I would, if you like the card art, I would recommend going to the full size one so you can see the entire picture.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. That stuff, it looks awesome. I really, really like it. It's some of my favorite cards so far. So that's really good. We'll move on now to Rezzed. Rezzed is rapidly approaching, isn't it?
It is indeed.
When is it? When is Rezzed hitting? Tell me about it, because I'm not going to be there.
Oh, you've asked us for dates. I can't remember the dates. Can you remember the dates? It's at the end of this month.
It's March 28th to the 30th, I think.
25th to 28th.
25th to 28th? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking at it on the Rezzed website right now. Oh, no. Sorry.
This is going well.
I was reading the Earl's Court one in September. Yeah, 28th to the 30th, March.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
But yeah, it's very exciting. It's this. I mean, we ended up actually getting involved in doing a little panel on Sunday with Dean Hoyle. And
nice.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
2 o'clock.
Quite exciting.
2 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about, was it? Oh no, not more zombies! I think we're going to chat about the public sort of getting a bit tired of zombies, but why they're still so popular, and it's because they're awesome, really.
Zombies,
that's the thing.
Zombies are awesome. They're such a cool concept, but I think a lot of what makes it so much fun is just that people really, in my opinion, this whole genre, quote-unquote, is exploding because people have had this lack of pure survival games for a very long time outside of maybe some very niche titles like Dwarf Fortress. And now that we finally see these survival games kind of coming to the forefront and with very talented developers of all different types, with all these cool games like Project Zomboid, like Don't Starve, like DayZ, this whole genre is exploding and zombies kind of fit that post-apocalyptic survival scenario perfectly.
Don't spoil the talk.
Oh, all right.
I'm
sorry.
Mathis isn't on stage as Rez. His own thoughts on it.
I've just jotted down everything he was saying, and I'll just.
Little do you know, I'm actually going to be at Rez, and I'm going to be giving the keynote speech. So.
But I mean, a big thing for us this Rez is last year we had a stand, and it was great, but we didn't get to see anything of Rez really, and we didn't really get to hang around with any of the people who came to see us much, and like this one, I'd have been happy even if we weren't doing anything at all, and it's just to meet people from the community and chill out with them and walk around with them, go to the pub with them, and that's in the core what is this Rez is about for us.
Yeah.
It's to spend some time with the community.
Very, very jealous. Because you guys are going to be there, Dean's going to be there, and I assume the 42nd's going to be there, Shannon and Zachriel. I think they're going to be there. And over the past few weeks, I've really gotten to know, like, that side of the, I don't want to say the group, but, like, those people, Shannon and Zachriel and stuff, and they're really awesome people, being able to play with them and play with Dean, and they're just, they're so, so nice. And you guys are lucky bastards to be able to hang out with them and chill and just kind of shoot the shit. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's really, really
one day.
Exciting.
One day I'll be there.
Oh, you will.
Or you'll
will.
Be over here at PAX Easter.
We'll be over there, yeah. I think we were umming and ahhing about whether we'll be able to make it to PAX Prime. And we don't. That's not confirmation. We don't know. But it's we do definitely want to get over
there. I don't even know when PAX Prime is. So. And it's like across the country. Yes.
Will is like our fearless leader / organizer, and without him, we're just
a bumbling mess,
scratching our heads. He's the one who knows when things are and what things are going on generally. Mash as well, but me and Andy just kind of
It happens. Well, one day, like I said, I'll be at Rez, or you'll be over here, or you know, both will happen eventually. But we could sit here and talk about that forever. I feel like I could anyway. So. One of the things that I've been retweeting a bunch of from Andy is he's been, and Ringo D particularly, because he's been doing a lot of modding stuff in general, but kind of ties into this, is the map expansion and some things that are to come. That's all you gave me for a bullet point, so feel free to go with that.
Yeah, this is definitely one for you, one of you two.
We are having a map expansion soon. More than the other two, I always like keeping secrets. So you always generally hear less of the map because I like keeping things close to my chest because I like seeing people explore new areas without them knowing what's coming up. Mm-hmm. So I won't go into detail exactly what's in the new map, but just know that the map expansion is coming soon, and hopefully in the future we will map expansions will. Faster because we're changing the process we use to make them. So hopefully instead of having like months between like big expansions, it'll be like quicker ones.
Pardon me if I pry on that a little. Are you talking like a total engine change? Not a total engine.
They've optimized me out of the system.
Oh. Yeah. The thing is, Andy's got. Mash is Miss Map basically, but Andy's had an important part to play on the map, which is actually generally designing the layout and the terrain and stuff like that. And then Andy passes it on to Mash, and then Mash puts all the buildings in and all the nice polish and finishing touches and stuff. But the problem is that Andy also does animations. He also does some coder stuff, shader stuff. He's got quite a lot of stuff that he needs to do. So even though doing that part of the map was quite precious to him, it was serving as a big bottleneck because it was meaning that he couldn't spend the time doing the other stuff like animations that was important. But at the same time, it meant that it was slowing down Mash. So basically, we just bit the bullet and said, right, Mash just got complete map control now.
What I'm hearing is Andy now, fired.
But no, actually, Andy, we'll probably stick a little sneak teaser image or something, but Andy's basically doing his swan song now, which is where the map expansion's starting, and it's quite immense, if in all things considered, but how long that'll take to actually come to fruition, we'll see, but yeah.
And of this few hints of what's to come, is that just, we're going to leave it at that?
Well, basically, if you imagine what we have at the moment, we have Mordra, and a bit to the north is West Point.
Mm-hmm. A bit to the north? That's a hell of a fucking walk.
Well, it's comparatively a bit to the north. And then we've got that little farm that's to the west, and a little run a railway rail yard type thing to the east, and to the south is Norlot. Basically, the map expansion is filling out areas to the north and to the west.
Okay.
So that's kind of a...
You don't need to expand any further if you don't want to spoil anything.
Well, bear in mind that there's that little bridge to the east of West Point that goes over the river.
Yep.
And basically, there might be quite a substantial amount of place there specced out for stuff on its way up towards the city. Is basically the meat of it. some sexy stuff coming, then like, okay. I'm very excited.
Well, I am too. Anything, any new place for me to survive long times or die very quickly is exciting for me. So
yeah, well, I'll just say it's like a large building. So
a large building. All right, yeah. All right.
It's the largest It's the largest build of them all.
All right. I'm excited. That sounds like a death trap, but I'm excited to check it out. So last little thing that you definitely wanted to touch upon is the tutorial, which you actually touched upon last Mundoid, correct?
Yes, that's right. We expressed the need for it, but we didn't go into a huge amount of detail. Mm. But it's mainly the fact that I know it's something that's probably not that useful to people who already play the game. It might not seem like a big thing, but it's the amount of, as Zomboid's growing and becoming more popular, it's starting to get overwhelming, the amount of complaints about the combat system, like how do I can't seem to kill zombies, or I can't figure out what to loot, or there's various failings, I guess, of the intuitiveness of the game that we can't seem to get over, which we're hoping stuff like the 3D models will help with, but at the same time, we don't want to overburden Kate and Ballspot with 1,000 pop-ups pausing gameplay. The whole raider section, imagine if the raider came in and paused and said, hey, this is an NPC, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I mean? That kind of hand-holding sort of counteracts the drama of the story, so we want to keep all that out of that, but we want to have basically a standalone hand-holding on the last stand map, where it's saying, right, run into the next room, turn around, you can only see behind you, run up to that container, click on it, that's your loot window, see, oh, there's a baseball bat in it, why don't you try dragging it from one side to the other, there you go, as you see it tick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like proper hand-holding at every stage of the way, so, you know, hold E to get out the window, oh, you can hold E to get out in and out of windows, that would instantly make about
50%.
Yeah. So that's,
if you want to drink bleach, right click and hit drink.
Yeah.
The amount of comments that I still get, you know, I'm almost 100 episodes into this particular season, I guess you want to call it, and how do you climb through a window? I'm like, how do you not know this by now? I've been doing it for like 100 episodes. I'm pretty sure I touched on it in episode 1 and 2. How do you not know how? It's like, well, I'm tapping E. I'm like, well, tapping E doesn't, oh, whatever. Anyway, yes, I'm excited. Tutorial will help a lot, I'm sure.
We've had the zombie Spiffle survival guide for a while, but mm-hmm. people don't need it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's, you know, are you really surprised that gamers just X out of things that have text and they don't pay attention to it? No.
We're not surprised, but it's frustrating because...
Oh, of course, because people should read it.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've learned a lot about how people play games and how much... you have to handhold. You have to design around the people who have the least ability to get to grips with things you would consider simple or obvious, but they're not necessarily so for a variety of reasons. And I think we've learned a lot there, and we're going to take this going forward. And you know, we are probably going to touch on tweaking the UI system in the future, and inventory and stuff to suit.
It's one of the curses of doing a an early access, well, not actually early access, but say an alpha funded game. So we're more so than just early access, where your game is incredibly raw when you first open it up. Whereas on early access, I think really your game should be at an alpha level at the very least.
At least some degree of playability.
Yeah, but with an alpha funded game, you're not even at alpha when you have your first release. So you're open to sort of public scrutiny very rapidly. Yeah. And so therefore you're having to develop features to satisfy demand. You want to see updates happening, you know, so you're incrementally adding all this stuff. And what you don't really get is very many opportunities to sit down and really carefully plan something out and then implement it and then move on. You're sort of doing these things a little bit at a time, and you know, and so every now and then you need to kind of just sit back and just go, right, we'll strip all that out and we'll replace it with a much better system. So kind of like the way the tutorial went was that we sort of hammered it into an opening story tutorial, and then we then, well, okay, but we didn't have the NPCs in there, so we couldn't do that. So we'll need something just to get people into it. So that's where the survival guide comes from. And it's kind of like, you know, some
iterative.
Yeah, it's iterative, yeah. But it's, and like I say, you don't get the option to kind of like stop, have 6 months to develop something and then put it in, and what people see as the final result. It's, you, people are always seeing these things go in incrementally, so it's kind of like the pressure to bring something out is. I mean, look at the NPCs. The reason that they've been taking so long is because we're trying to do them really well.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
they're too important to put in there broken, and then especially after the way people are bad. If we just put art there and said, well, they're broken now, but they won't be, it would probably lose a massive amount of goodwill people have got. And we've just got to bite the bullet and soak up any bad feeling or annoyance
but we do try not to do this, where, you know, that so people aren't just waiting for 6 months for a particular feature. We try and bring these things out incrementally, like the multiplayer, like the or like the 3D stuff that we've been doing, where, you know, you roll these things out little bit by bit by bit. But with the NPCs, that's just not possible. We have to just stop, do it, get it done, get it sorted, then release it. And like I say, it's the one curse with developing a game in an alpha funded way.
Well, there are the curses, but we won't go into that.
Well, yeah, but I guess because you've got like, you've been pulled in several directions. You've been pulled in directions of the game's buggy, we need it to be more polished. We've been pulled in the direction of there aren't enough features, add more features. And basically, these are contradictory things, but one makes the other worse, you know what I mean? So you've got to try and push one out a bit. That you add more features, that makes it buggier. You fix bugs that people get bored because there's no new features going, so you add more features. And you've got to kind of keep doing those stepping stones as you go.
Like
and
patchwork just, almost as you go
along.
And I then you have the people yelling, well, you had NPCs in once, why can't you just put them back in? And it's like, you don't realize that those things were just walking zombies with guns.
Yeah. And not only that, but they just couldn't function on the streamed world.
And they weren't what you guys were picturing as the ideal NPC situation which you guys are working on.
I guess kind of example of how people get the wrong impression if they were to go back in. Like, that would get kind of, oh, these are NPCs? Forget this.
Right, exactly. It's like, just wait. It's going to be awesome when it comes in.
The example scenario we came up with right at the start of what we wanted from the NPC stuff would be, you would have some guy in your safe house who kept leaving doors open, making a lot of noise, he was a complete liability. So one day you say, hey guys, we're going to go out looting, I'll take him, and you'd go out, you walk around the corner, you shoot him in the back of the head, then go back to your safe house and lie and say you got ate by zombies. That was kind of a kind of soundbite kind of mission statement of what we want to accomplish, and those other NPCs were not that, you know.
Right.
So, the one we're trying to do now is that.
Yeah.
It's just until it is that, it's not going out.
I mean, the point is that when you have like any multiplayer game, there are narratives which come out of the experience, so that you could, for example, that video that was of Dean Hall playing, where he decided to take someone hostage and get them to remove their clothes and stuff. That's a little narrative. There's a story there, and it's a pretty interesting, cool story. And every game that's got a multiplayer component has these little stories that you get out of it, and which is what makes multiplayer games so interesting. And we want that with the NPCs. You know, so you mill around with a couple of NPCs, and an actual interesting story emerges from it. And it's not all necessarily just as a result of what you're doing.
It's almost like we want to have a multiplayer experience in single player.
Exactly.
But also, in multiplayer, you'll also want those NPCs.
What I'd most like to see is a situation where two groups meet in multiplayer, and there's a human in both groups, not as the leader, but there's no indication that they're human, and you've got this kind of what's the test, the Turing test kind of thing, or like Spy Party, where you'd have both the players trying to blend in with the NPCs and not be apparent that they're actually human players, you know, and like this kind of mistrust, and then that would solve a lot of the kill on sight things instantly, because you wouldn't, if you killed on sight, then you'd just get mown down by the NPCs, or you'd piss off all the NPCs in your group, you know. So the NPCs.
The NPCs are making you somewhat accountable for your actions, because there'll be huge benefits to having to be in a group, because you're going to need a cook, you're going to need someone experienced with firearms, you're going to need someone who can farm and craft and all this kind of stuff. So the amount of skills that you need to cover will be sufficient, especially as we continue to add skills into the game, that you personally will never be able to be good at all of them until you know, you live for years. So you're going to need to rely on probably NPCs, or at the very least have a large multiplayer party. So because the NPCs will be very, very useful in this regard, you won't...
And because there will be die-hard role players, they will not break character, or they will not grief.
So the NPCs, you're going to want to have them sticking around. And so if you go on a wanton murder rampage, these NPCs are not going to want to be in your group. They'll just leave, or they'll try and kill you. Or, you know. Yeah. But the outcome is that if you're aggressive towards other players, you're going to have a real hard time forming a group with any of the NPCs.
So yeah, it's something that's we know we're capable of, and we know it's going to be good when it's done. But it's such a big task that needs to be done to completion or near completion before we can put it out there without destroying all of the anticipation for them. And we're on it. We've got a plan, and we're picking up pace, and we've developed tools to help speed us up. But until it's done, people just have to be patient. And the only reason it's taking so long is because we want them to be right, and want them to be no other game does what we're trying to do here. So people have to accept the amount of responsibility on our shoulders for it. So yeah.
Well, you're making me foam at the mouth for them, but I will be patient, sir. I'll be patient. Yeah. I'm looking forward to them. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, all this hard work, you know, come into fruition, and seeing them work as you imagine them to. Because I'm sure they will. It's going to be awesome.
Cheers, Mathis.
So that, I mean, I feel like at this point we've been talking for a hell of a long time, so we should probably bring things to a close. We really talked about a whole slew of things here that people are going to have a lot to digest about, and I'm going to be re-digesting it all tomorrow for a separate video to talk about all the things that we talked about. But is there anything you guys want to hammer home or talk about in particular before we wrap up this little conversation? I'll take that as a no. Marina, go ahead. Yes.
Sounds like Mashman. Yeah.
I just want to mention that RJ is currently working on the cooking system, so hopefully that'll be in soon as well.
That's
a good point.
Andy could probably talk about that a little bit, because you're quite intrinsically involved with that, aren't you, like, design-wise?
It's one of the aspects of the game that I care most about, which is a bit bizarre, but it's just I love the cooking stuff. But no, basically, Roman's working on a system which is what we're trying to do is make cooking a lot more creative. So we want as much fun and scope and creativity in cooking as you currently get with construction. So that it's less a case of, oh well, if you right click on this, you know, you use these three items, you produce that and only ever that. What we want is more of a system like real world cooking. So if, for example, at the moment, one of the recipes you have in the game is a couple of slices of bread, some cheese, some butter, and you right click on that and it says make cheese sandwich, and that's all you can make. You know, if you don't like cheese, well, you're screwed. You're just gonna have to make a cheese sandwich. You know, there are no other options. You want to put some onions in it? You can't. It's a cheese sandwich. It's a preset recipe.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is change that system to more of a, you're creating a base sandwich, say. So, for example, you get some bread and you butter it and you produce the world's most boring sandwich. But then you can add to that some cheese, add to that some onion, add to that some black pepper, whatever.
Ham,
anything that would go in a sandwich, you can just add to it. And the sandwich inherits the nutritional properties of the things which you've put in it. So you'll end up with like a Scooby snack mega sandwich, you know, and if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And, Sorry, Mash?
Sorry. And, like, and having cooking skills, because right now the cooking skill doesn't really do anything, not much, but it'll provide more happiness, more nutrition value. You'll have more bonuses.
And you'll be getting more out of your ingredients as well. So if you're a good chef, you'll be being able to use more of the meat, use more of the whatever it is.
It'd be nice to get into a situation where if the chef got popped off, suddenly everything goes to crap and everyone starts getting fights and killing each other, and it's like, oh, the chef died. Do you know what I mean? The problem to have that much of a unifying effect on the happiness of the group.
Because effectively, the more you maintain a sense of normalcy, the better mental state everyone's in. So if you're constantly eating just bland, boring, horrible food, it's gonna diminish the morale of your entire party. But if the food is decent and varied and interesting and nutritious and stuff, it's just going to keep everyone happy, keep everyone healthy. So the chef, is going to be one of the more important components of a party. But not only that, the actual process of creating food and creating, that's going to be a creative process and an interesting process,
Well, it's like in all zombie fiction, you get like that moment. It's like Walking Dead had the one was hot. The idea of having a hot shower is such a orgasmically amazing thing. It's like everyone's ecstatic just at something that everyone in normal life takes for granted. In the same way, cooking, it's like you would in this post-apocalypse world, if you could have like steak, like cooked steak, you'd be like, it would be like heavenly, wouldn't it? Because you haven't had steak in 6 months, and then you get to have some nice medium rare. You just
but more so than that, a steak as prepared by someone who knows what they're doing and seasons it properly.
Yeah.
That's just going to be the most incredible thing ever. It's just that's the point. And like I say, you want to encourage and reward people who go the extra mile with the cooking recipes that they create. I want that to be a creative and rewarding process and not just right click on these things, make that thing, whatever, doesn't matter. There's no such thing as tasty soup. There is soup with anything you want to put in it, you can do it, and you'll get snacks reflecting it.
No, that sounds awesome. Actually, I didn't really know that was going on. I don't think, at least I forgot. That sounds awesome. I really like the idea of being able to like make your own food and they inherit properties and whatnot. So that's exciting. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
And that's a template that could be applied to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like not necessarily just cooking. Like it could be the next step in the crafting where there might be more nuances in weapon creation or just
Awesome. Well, Mash, you about to say something?
Oh, no. Well, this is another example of kind of how we roll out stuff. So even when we're not talking about these things, they are being worked on because, we occasionally see a thread saying hire more people and things like that. But these things are going on. So even though Chris is like the main programmer, we have RJ, we have Tim also working on things that might not necessarily be talked about, but they are being worked on. Right? So it's just another example of how features appear out of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah, well, a good case in point is the multiplayer. No one had any idea that was even in the works until we were showing videos of it largely functional, and this is the kind of a change to the way we're doing things now, because we learned our lessons with those NPC videos, and then, Mundoids have been brilliant, but also a bit the blessing and the curse, because the pressure to have a good Mundoid that's going to satisfy people was kind of pressuring us to release stuff that we would normally have kept quiet. So we were kind of putting stuff out there before we should have really, but so we've had to learn to resist doing that and just keeping stuff secret unless it's imminent,
We've found ourselves in situations where, for lack of anything else to talk about, we say, oh, well, this feature is kind of 25% done, so we'll talk about that. and so we talk about it, and then the next week, what have you got? You've got that same feature, but now it's 70% done. But you've got nothing else to talk about. It's kind of, well, we're still doing the thing that we were doing the last time we talked,
And then the danger is that that 25%, next week it's 26%, next week it's 27%, exactly, yeah. You think, oh God, what have I done?
Yeah,
exactly. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, that's why we're so quiet on NPCs, apart from this little chat, is that we just, until they're ready to go out there, we don't want to kind of stoke the fires anymore.
Here I was thinking you were all swimming in your piles of money, not doing any work. Pretty sure that's what Steve thinks anyway. Well, that was actually good. I mean, we've been chatting for close to an hour now, so...
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, it's opened up the floor. Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about? Do we want to wrap this thing up? I mean, up to you.
Well, I just want to say
thank you for
doing this, because we tried doing this on our own, and it was horrible. I think this was much better this time around.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, by orders of magnitude, it's been a lot more natural and comfortable, and we haven't had to preemptive, like the last one we tried, it was 45 minutes long. I think if I edited it down, it would have been about 30 seconds long. And most of the rest of it was just saying, oh, we'll edit that bit out. We'll edit that bit out. And we never actually,
Well, no, thank you guys for having me. This is fun. I don't get to do this too often, so I enjoy it when I have the opportunity to do so. Especially talking to you guys. You all know that for me, it's what my channel has been built upon. So talking with you guys is always a pleasure. I always enjoy it.
Well, the channel was built on us, and we were built on you. It's two-way street, isn't it? So thank you very much.
No problem. Well, thank you guys for having me. We're going to wrap up this Mundoid here. I will have a separate video tomorrow on Tuesday for my particular channel, where I probably just talk about the things that we talked about. I don't know. I'll show something in the background, gameplay stuff, probably what you guys are going to do, very similar to this. So make sure you swing by there. And next week we could have the same thing. Next week we could go back to normal. We don't know how it's going to go. We'll see how you guys like it. So make sure in the forums you guys drop your opinion on what you think of this particular kind of impromptu, nonchalant chat about upcoming features and development of the game. Again, I want to thank you guys for having me, and I guess I will see all you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers, Mathis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.